Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Read, read, books, books. Read, read, books, books. Read, read, books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land.
Welcome to our book pick segment for this week. On every Tuesday at this time, we have a wonderful independent bookseller to come and tell us great books that they are reading and that we should be reading. And we would love for you to listen up and hear about some of this wonderful, wonderful stuff. This morning, Emily Crow joins us to present a fine list of books. And she is with the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts. And we love Emily, and it's great to have her back.
Oh, thanks, Joe. It's really happy to be here.
Wonderful. So tell us, where would you like to begin?
I'm going to start with a book called Boy Snowbird by Helen Oyeyemi.
Okay.
And she is a writer who is on the cusp of being a literary international sensation, and I think this is the book that's going to propel her over the top. It's a book that is unsettling and disquieting, but in the really good way that makes you think and makes you wonder about everything you've ever heard. Oyeyemi is known for interweaving folklore into her novels, and in this case, she uses the fairy tale of Snow White as the jumping-off place for telling this story, which is set in a small, fictitious town of Flax Hill, Massachusetts, during the 1950s. Boy, who is actually a girl, meets Arturo and marries him after a brief courtship. And Boy becomes very fond of her stepdaughter, named Snow, and Snow is lovely and ethereal and very sweet. But when Boy gives birth to a baby of her own, her daughter, named Bird, is born with dark skin. And that is when Boy realizes that she's married into a family of light-skinned African-Americans who have been passing for white. And it's at this point that things really start happening in the novel. Boy outcasts Snow, and when she does that, Oyeyemi really stands things on their heads. You know, what forms our identity, and what is beauty, and what does it really mean to be the fairest of them all? Booksellers at my bookstore were really impressed with Oyeyemi's book, and we made her our signed First Editions Club book for March. That's how strongly we felt about it. She's just amazing, and I would recommend this book for anyone who values literary fiction, unusual voices, intricate narratives, and the exploration of race and identity.
Wow. It sounds incredible. Boy Snowbird by Helen
Oyeyemi. Oyeyemi.
There we go. I'll let you definitively take that one.
Okay.
Next.
The next one is a book called All Our Names by Danao Mengestu. And I'm going to start by paraphrasing a website called The Millions. And I'm going to begin with what sounds like an opening line to a joke. A MacArthur genius, a 5 under 35 awardee, and a 20 under 40 recipient all walk into a bar and take a single seat because it's one person, and his name is Danao Mengestu. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I were a writer, I'd want to tell him to slow down because he's making the rest of us look bad.
Yes, he's a pretty amazing man.
Yeah, he really is. So this is a story with a dual narrative. We have Isaac, who is a recent immigrant in the U.S. from Ethiopia, but by way of Uganda. And it's the early 1970s, so Idi Amin has been in power for a little while, and it's just becoming clear the kind of disturbing power he intends to wield. And Isaac is a student at university who falls in with an idealistic young man who may or may not be involved in planning the next overthrow of the regime. And then, back in the U.S., we have Helen, who becomes Isaac's social worker in the U.S., small Midwestern town, not named. And she's helping to get him acclimated to life where he finds himself after immigrating. Very little is what it seems on the surface of this novel, and that's the brilliant subtlety of Mengestu's writing. He writes about what happens between what is spoken and what is gone unspoken, and his characters live between the present and the past, and their lives are generally haunted by the living and the dead. So it's got a lot going on beneath the surface, and it is extraordinary. Now, I didn't know this when I was reading the novel. I didn't necessarily pick up on this, but when Mengistu was at the store last week, he touched on the parallels between America and much of Africa during the early 1970s. Both places had undergone periods of major upheaval in the previous decade. Here in the U.S., we were dealing with the civil rights movement, and in Africa, it was the anti-colonial movement. And yet, those years were marked by hope and idealism, but by the time the 1970s rolled around, that hope had given way to disillusionment in both places. And just learning that made me want to go back and read the book all over again with that bit of cultural context.
Wow. We have him coming up on our book show, and he was in last week, and it's really stunning stuff. A wonderful, wonderful novel, and which is titled All Our Names. Next.
Okay, next is a debut collection. It's a book called The Frangipani Hotel. The author is Violet Cooper Smith, and it's a collection of short stories from a young graduate from Mount Holyoke College. And in this book, she uses traditional folklore and ghost stories from Vietnam as the inspiration for her contemporary stories, which take place mostly in Vietnam, either in the countryside or in Ho Chi Minh City. And the ghosts themselves take many forms. Some of them are super creepy. Some of them are a little bit more subtle. And these ghosts or these spirits are very comfortable interacting with both the local Vietnamese and then the visitors alike.
Right.
And there's a blend of supernatural lore and then the country's own history. And you can kind of see that she's building up the presence of the Vietnam War as a ghost in itself, paired off against the actual ghosts that are in her stories. And she really walks the fine line between creepiness and whimsy. And I loved how the stories were balanced between the Vietnamese immigrant experiences and being informed by a really rich storytelling tradition of that country. The book will be published next week, and I recommend it for anyone who values a really cohesive story collection or loves being immersed in the atmosphere of another culture.
Terrific. And it is, who's the author?
Violet Cooper Smith.
Violet Cooper Smith. That's K-U-P-E-R. Violet Cooper Smith, the Frangipani Hotel?
Yes.
Excellent.
Okay. And then next is a paperback original. It is called The President's Hat by Antoine Laurent. I might be slaughtering that pronunciation. My French was never what it should be. And this book was an entirely unexpected surprise and a real delight. It takes place in Paris in 1986 when François Mitterrand was the president, and it is basically the story of what happens when you believe that an object can empower you to take control of your life. It starts off in this little cafe where a regular guy is having dinner when the president comes in and sits at the table right next to him. The president accidentally leaves his hat behind after dinner, so this guy picks up the hat and leaves with it surreptitiously, kind of an accidental souvenir of the night he had dinner next to the president. But lo and behold, after he starts wearing the hat, this man starts acting very differently at home and at work. He takes charge during a business meeting, he gets a promotion, he acts more authoritatively, you know, that sort of thing. He's just taking charge of his own life in a way he's never done before. And he's just beginning to attribute his new success to the president's hat when he accidentally leaves it behind on a train. Okay, so in steps a young woman who finds the hat on a train and tries it on. And now she is feeling empowered and emboldened in new ways. So she finds a way to break off an unproductive affair with her lover, and she submits a short story to a contest to win the big grand prize. And then she leaves the hat behind on a park bench, and another man picks it up, and so on. So you have all of these people whose lives are affected by this presidential hat.
This is all very complicated for a 200-page book.
No, it's fun, and it's okay. Kind of like Tolkien's One Ring, but in a benevolent way.
Gotcha.
So the hat finds its way to the people who need it most, And it asks the question, does the power lie within the hat, or does it simply awaken each individual who wears it? Are we running out of time?
No, you're
looking
fine.
At me. Oh, okay.
No.
So I also love that it says what it says about the big things and the little things, like, you know, love, work, creativity. You know, these are all prominent in the book. But I also love what it says about the small things, the random chances that can change the course of your life. You should really reach out for your dream when you find a hat like that, basically. It's a relatively short novel, and I cannot recommend it highly enough. Totally delightful.
Excellent. It is The President's Hat by Antoine Laurent, we'll go with.
Yes.
Next up.
Okay. I am going to briefly talk about a new novel out in paperback now. It was hardcover last year. It is called Z, a novel of Zelda Fitzgerald by Therese Anne Fowler. And it is the imagined inner life of Zelda Fitzgerald, starting with her childhood in Alabama up until the time she meets a young army man named Scott Fitzgerald, and he sweeps her off her feet. They're madly in love, and they become the it couple of the early 20th century. It also delves into the heartbreak of Zelda's deteriorating mindset, the heartache when she was not given attribution for all of the writing and the support she gave her husband. And it is lovely and subtle, and I think would make a terrific book club pick. I think it's the best in the recent spate of novels that we've had that feature women who were associated with more famous men. So, you know, like The Paris Wife or The Aviator's Wife or those two books about Frank Lloyd Wright, about the women in his lives. I think this one is the best of those imagined books.
Wow. It is Z, a novel of Zelda Fitzgerald. Therese Anne Fowler is the author. We have about 30 seconds or a minute. Or are there events coming up that you would like to tell us about?
Oh, and here I am without my events calendar.
Or another book, whatever you want.
You know, I will briefly talk about a book coming up that we are having the author for. The book is The Storied Life of A.J. Fikri. The author is Gabrielle Zevin. And for anybody out there who has ever wanted to be a bookseller, work in a bookstore, own your own bookshop, this is the book for you. It is the story of a small book on an island, somewhat like Nantucket.
Ooh.
And it is a book whose tagline is basically, no man is an island, every book is a world. And it's the most incredibly light and wonderful read.
Terrific. It is The Storied Life of A.J. Fikri, which is a name I love, by Gabrielle Zevin. And the event is
April 23rd.
You can go to odysseybks.com for more information on their events. You can also just easily go to our webpage, wamc.org/roundtable. We have all the book picks there and a link to the Odyssey as well. Also, visit them, 9 College Street in South Hadley, Massachusetts. And it's a beautiful, wonderful bookstore and a great place to check out, and also a super place with wonderful events. Again, our list and the book picks list for each week, wamc.org/roundtable. Emily Crow, it's always a delight to have you in the program and to have your very thoughtful recommendations. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, thanks, Joe. Thanks for having
me.
Great
pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.